Good to see all you guys. If you are new here with us, my name is John Wagler. I'm part of this team, and so thankful that you decided to join us here on this Sunday morning as we are in week number 4 of this series called Take the Stairs, where we're looking at this idea of how do we create movement in our lives towards a healthy direction emotionally, spiritually, relationally, and physically, and what are some of the things that can be prohibitive in doing that. And so we've been using this big idea for the entire series, and it will be the case for the next few weeks, and that's this, that there's no elevator to success. You have to take the stairs. And so we've looked at a few different things the last couple weeks. We've looked at that kind of prevent us from getting healthy. The first one we talked about was complaining. The second one was around a lack of discipline. And then the third one was a lack of mission in our lives. And so this week, I was going to explain what we're going to do this week, but I thought a video would be better to set this up. How many of you guys are SNL fans? All right, so this clip is from a while ago, but it just plays in perfectly to what today is about. So let's take a look at this vid.
Let me tell you Mickey specials today. We've got steak and eggs served with some home fries and Mickey waffles.
Woo! I love me some steak and eggs.
Ever since they found mad cow disease in the U.S., I'm not taking any chances. It can live in your body for years before it ravages your brain.
You're enjoying your day, everything's going your way, then along comes Debbie Downer. Always there to tell you about a new disease, a car accident, or killer bees. We beg her to spare you, Debbie, please, but you can't stop Debbie Downer.
All right. So we're going to talk about negativity today. And so even when I say that, if you lean negative, you're probably already bitter at me for talking about negativity. So I want to talk about negativity from a little maybe different perspective, though, because let me first say what this sermon is not. This is not a power of positive thinking sermon. This is not a way to get you to minimize what you're going through, because guess what? Sometimes life sucks, okay? And so you can admit that, and that's okay. And this is not a way to say, hey, if you're negative and you're depressed or you got anxiety, I can't believe you take meds. Like, this is not an anti-meds sermon or anything like that, all right? So I want us to think about negativity a little bit differently, because when we start seeing this, And really the power that can happen with negativity, it deeply impacts our emotional health, our spiritual health, our physical health, and our relational health. And so this is a really pivotal thing in terms of handling this and understanding this better. When you look at negativity in and of itself, it's a part of the 9 cognitive distortions that we have. And so I want to list out the 9 so you just kind of get a picture of what they are. And this is how our brains kind of distort things around us. And so negativity is actually one of the 9. And so here are the 9. The first one is allowing feelings to distort reality. The second one is focusing on worst possible outcomes and believing they are going to happen. The third one is overgeneralization. The fourth one is binary thinking. That's not a problem at all in our country. The fifth one is assuming you know what people think. The sixth one is labeling. The seventh one is negative filter. And the eighth is discounting positives. And ninth is blaming. All right, so those are the 9 cognitive distortions that happen that make us see life differently than we should and impacts how healthy we are. And those cognitive distortions actually create feedback loops in our brains. And when those feedback loops happen, it creates thought habits. And when those thought habits happen, that's why we think the way we think, and that's why we act the way we act. All right, so that's why these distortions are important to kind of take into consideration and to see whether or not and where those things kind of manifest itself in our own life. You know, when we look at negativity, it truly reigns in our culture. I mean, if you think about, we accept negativity. We normalize it, we justify it, we just make it normative in our life. And if you look at even our political process, right, it is built on negativity. Think about what's going to happen in a few months, y'all, all the ads we're going to see. You will never see this. I'm so excited to debate my wonderful opponent. He or she is so smart, right? Like, we'll never, ever see that because negativity wins in our culture. And here's the crazy part, we just accept it, and we embrace it, and we empower people to do it, And it's crazy. And so negativity continues to kind of build on itself. They've done some studies on just the words we use and everything, and they did this one massive one where they found that 50% of the words are negative, 30% are positive, and 20% are neutral. And that even like it's kind of how we see negativity in our life is pretty interesting, because if I were to tell you, hey, tell me some stories about growing up, or tell me some of your fondest memories and some things, we do have some positive ones, of course, but the reality is we remember a lot more negative ones, in particular middle school, right? Like Lacey went to middle school around here. There's been a couple of times, like she said stuff like, oh, in middle school, this is what he said to me. I'm like, why do you remember that from seventh grade? Your fault for what you were wearing. No, just kidding. But like but you remember the negative things a lot more clear than the positive ones. And part of the reason for that is we have a negativity bias in us. And if you think about it this way, our brains crave an ending to a story. If it's open-ended, we fill in the blanks. Think about how many times where you don't know the full picture or the full story to something and you fill it in with a negative thought or a negative perspective or negative something on someone else. And so that's because of this negative bias that we have within us. And so I just want us to process this together, because negativity can be so powerful. But here's the thing. You can't stop a negative thought from happening. So this isn't like a, if you do these three things, you will never have a negative thought for the rest of your life. It's just not possible. So the negative thoughts come from our consciousness, but here is the important part when it comes to negativity, that we don't choose our negative thoughts, but we do choose whether or not we give them power. That's just the reality. And so it's important then to start having the correct framework when we start thinking about negativity and these thoughts that are starting to come to fruition in our brains. And so last week we talked about the gospel of Jesus, meaning the good news of Jesus. So just think about it this way. Does negativity go hand in hand with the hope and the power and the light of Jesus? No, for those of you who are wondering, it just doesn't, right? It doesn't go hand in hand. So even when you think about it, like if you were going to share the good news of Jesus, would you ever be negative about it? Would you be like, let me tell y'all, it's like such a bummer to follow Jesus. My life is not good. And I just like, I don't like waking up in the morning, but I'm like, heaven it is, right? Like that's kind of, but we don't process it. So what does this mean then? It means, if negativity doesn't bring us towards Jesus, then it's pushing us away. So then it has to, that if something's pushing us away from Jesus, then it is sinful. Right? Like if we're not moving towards Jesus, and we're moving, and something's pushing us away from him, then it's sinful. And so even the presence of negativity and giving power to it, and that's why like when we look kind of culturally, when we accept negativity and everything, we're like, it's just the way it is. And like, here's what we're saying when we say, it's just the way it is. We're saying, evil and sin, it's just the way it is. And so just processing that a little bit, are we giving power to this negativity? One of my favorite stories in the Bible, just because I just think part of it's funny, is in Mark chapter 4, and I want us to take a look at this morning. So if you're not familiar with your Bible at all, in the beginning of the New Testament, there are these four books. They're called the Gospels. They talk about the good news of Jesus, the life and stories of Jesus, and they're Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're kind of firsthand accounts of what happened and some of the things that he taught and miracles that he did, and Mark is commonly, most scholars believe Mark was the first gospel that was written, and so I like it because it's short and to the point, and so that's why I really like Mark, and that's just how I think. It's very efficient. I appreciate his writing. And so one of the stories in Mark is really fascinating to me, Mark chapter 4. It's about when Jesus and the disciples get into the boat, and all these waves and this big storm, wind kind of comes around them. So I want us to take a look at this because I want us to see what happens even to the disciples who were closest to Jesus. I want you to see what happens when they give in to negativity. So Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, and although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up, and high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." And so for some of us in this room, you know, you're familiar with this story, and we like the wind and waves part, and that's cool. But I want us to take a look at a different part of this story around how the disciples had this negative thought about Jesus. Because I want you to think about this. They had been with Jesus. They've seen big miracles. Not kind of miracles, like big miracles, and they've heard his teachings, and they kind of getting an understanding of like who he is and what he's doing here, and they get on the boat and they see this, the wind and the waves and the storms, and they were all skilled fishermen, so they would have been around things like this before. And so they see all the storm rise around them, and they give power to negative thoughts. And well, how do we know that? Well, we start knowing that because the first thing that we see here, and it's kind of the first thing I want us to take away from this, is that they give in to a false narrative. They give in to a false narrative. When they gave in to the negative thoughts, do you see what they actually did? They went to Jesus, and they said, "Teacher." Now, in one of the other translations, it says "Lord," but it says "Teacher" or "Lord," meaning you're our guide. You're the person telling us how this all works. And if they use the term "Lord," they're saying you're Lord and in control of everything. He's like, so we're coming to you. But they gave in to they give power to negativity. How so? Because they came to him. And they said, "Do you not even care?" So think about that. They've seen these miracles. They know Jesus loves him. They know all this. And they come to him, and Jesus is just, and this is the funny part, everything's just going crazy around them, right? And what's Jesus doing? Mark even gives them a cushion. They're like, Jesus is just chilling on a cushion, just relax. And they're like, "Jesus, do you not even care?" And he's just like, "All right, wind, waves, chill out." Right, like, and just kind of calms everything down. But what happened in that moment was they were given into this idea that the things around them were more powerful than Jesus. And I wonder how often we do the same thing. That we give in to the negativity that our life is not going down the path we want or had hoped, or something comes at us in a way that we never thought would. And we think that the storms that are rising around us, the waves and the wind that are going around us, are too powerful than for Jesus. We like the idea of him being our guide, our teacher, or the idea of him being our Lord and saying you're more powerful than everything else, but we just don't like to live like it, and we don't like to think like it. And so the negative thoughts start creeping in, and we give power to those things, and we give credibility, and we start to believe a false narrative. Man, God will never deliver me out of this. Or maybe you've prayed this way or thought this way. God, where are you right now? That's no different than what the disciples are saying. Do you not even care? And it doesn't mean that you can't do those things. Like, it's actually an example, like the disciples were closest and they did that. But how often do we do that? How often do we give power to negativity that make us start to doubt the presence of God in our life, to make us start to doubt the power that God may have around us? I think even when we start to believe this false narrative, we'll start telling a different story even to ourselves. Here's what that could look like. Maybe you have given in to self-pity. And the narrative you're telling yourself, and you might try and disguise it with self-deprecation, to be funny, or sarcasm, or something like that. But because you've given in to negativity, you stopped viewing the way that God sees you and started kind of taking in some of these lies you keep telling yourself. I mean, think about this. No one talks to you more than you. And so it's important to then discover what are the things that you're actually telling yourself. Are they truths? Or have you given power to negativity and you keep reminding yourselves of lies that have started to shape how you think about yourself? Maybe you're constantly degrading yourself. Maybe you can't take encouragement from other people around you. think to some degree, when we think about negativity in our lives, that we are set up to fail a little bit with this, because when the world keeps telling us to go ahead and get yours and get as much as you can and everything, and Jesus tells us to give up everything, we have this like paradox that's happening here, like which one should I go to? And what happens is when we kind of go down the path of saying, I'm just going to get mine, I'm going to get everything I can, I'm going to live for myself, I'm going to live out my own truth, I'm going to do all these other things, I'm going to do me, I'm going to be me, the end result is we'll never be content. And then when we're never content, it's because we're always comparing ourselves. And then we build up and we prop up negativity because we'll never be good enough, we'll never have enough, we'll never have the things, right? All that stuff. And Jesus offers up this whole other narrative for us to believe in, but we choose the other one all the time. And we believe this false narrative about ourselves. I mean, think about some of the things that you might be insecure about. You don't even let other people really know. Think about the power that you're giving to those thoughts that are negative, that God does not think about you. And does that lead you closer to Jesus and healthier emotionally, spiritually, relationally, physically? Or does it take you in a different direction? I think some of the other reasons we give into this negativity and this narrative is we think that we're supposed to be happy all the time, which is just, again, a very Western thought, is to think that we need to be happy all the time. Jesus actually taught that not only will you experience suffering, but you need to embrace it. That sometimes life's going to come hard and aggressive. But that's just the way it is. There's this kind of, there's this thought that prevails around the Christian culture that once you believe in Jesus, everything's okay. Someday, but just not now, right? Like life's going to come at you. And so it's important to take that in. I mean, think about this. If the validity of Jesus, I mean, the credibility of Jesus hinged on whether or not Christians experience suffering and pain and anguish and tough times in life, Christianity wouldn't have made it 2 weeks. So it's not about being happy and just not experiencing tough things. It's just like, how do we engage? How do we take the necessary steps? How do we appreciate the grind in those moments of believing the narrative that God's got us rather than maybe giving power to the negative thoughts in those moments? We cannot let negativity make the lies we tell ourselves seem like truth. We can't let negativity make the lies we tell ourselves seem like truth. Here's another thing about negativity. Negativity will be a multiplier of shame. Now, we always keep shame hidden, and we're going to do a couple weeks on shame here a few weeks from now. But we always keep shame hidden. But here's what negativity does. It becomes a multiplier of it because when we get negative, it kind of feeds into our shame. And when shame starts building up, then we want loneliness and isolation seem like the only possible thing to do. That's why we separate ourselves from good community or good people or folks that could speak in positive things into our lives. That's why we go down the route of maybe you're in a tough spot in life and made some bad decisions and maybe you felt this. Maybe you felt this walking in here today, or maybe you felt that at some point. You thought this to yourself, I can't go back to church. They wouldn't want me in there. What I've done is too much. I had one guy one time, I was inviting him to church and he said this to me. He goes, man, if I walked in there, the walls would burn down. And I was just like, I mean, we can build them back if you're that bad. Right? Like, so, but I mean, it's like this idea that we've just done too much. We give power to this negative thought process. God's bigger than all of that. Yes, there are consequences, and yes, some bad things happen, but are you giving power to the wrong things? Even think about this. Negativity ends up being toxic, doesn't it? You need, in order for negativity to continue in a grouping of people, you need gossip to make it happen. And so gossip is stuff like this. You know what I heard? Or my favorite one is this. Several people have told me. Just know, if you ever say that to me, my next thing I'm going to say to you is that, how many people? And if you reply to me several, I'm going to be like, no, put a number on it. And then you're going to say two. And I'm going to say, what did you do with those two? Did you feed into the gossip and the negativity, or did you lead well and tell them to do the right thing? And so it's important, and why? Because when negativity becomes toxic, and we don't want toxic things in our body, it's like if you've ever been to the Kroger over here at Willow Lawn, everyone smokes right outside the door. You can't. I mean, it's just like you get through it like this. And I was thinking the other day, like, I hold my breath going through it, right? Like, I'm coming in, I'm like, and you just kind of go through. I don't want the toxic thing coming into my body. So why are we sitting there with like negativity and gossip and those things? Why are we just sitting there being like, we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't give power to the negativity around us. Here's the second thing I think that happens that we see with these guys is they lose their wonder. When we start allowing negativity to have power in our thoughts, we lose our wonder, we lose our awe, we lose our ability to see the power that God has and the things that he's done. We forget the good things he's already done in our life. We forget how we used to sing, how we used to pray, and how we used to tell others about the good things of God because we've allowed negativity to have its own kind of power. And we lose the awe and the wonder in that moment. Even in this story, when I was reading it to prep for this, it was the first time I had noticed that there were other boats. I've just only ever saw like the one boat or thought about the one boat, and I just never noticed the other boats there. And I just thought to myself, man, I wonder how often I engage life missing the other boats in the story, missing the little things. Because in that moment, when God comes, the wind and the rain and the storm and the waves around them, he saves the other boats too. And I was like, man, how often do I just miss out on that because maybe I've allowed myself to get a little too negative, or maybe I'm not appreciating the awe and the wonder of the things that God actually does. I think what else happens with the awe and wonder piece is that we start thinking that positive people are delusional. Maybe you've been around folks that are super optimistic and they're positive, and you think to yourself, I can't be that good. That's too good to be true. Right? That's how your brain processes the comments in those moments. Or maybe you're a how before wow person. It's one of the things we talk about as a staff, that we always want to be wow first. Like someone comes to you with a great idea and you're like, how are you going to do it? Do you have the money? Like, let me dream for a second, you jerk. Right? Like that's what you, like that's how you process things. And so we've got to be like wow people first. Yes, there's a practical element to things. But why are we not wow and positive first? Even like the idea that maybe you love the role of devil's advocate. Again, process the title for a second. Let me be the devil's advocate here, right? Like so just think about that stuff when it comes to this idea of negativity. And the other thing with losing our wonder is that we lack courage or become risk averse. In the moments to take a leap, we feel more comfortable in the negative mindset. We give in to fear. Like, the end of negativity is that we will live out of fear. And we'll miss out on courageous moments and some things that we might need to risk and put our trust in God because we've lost the wonder of what he could do. So what do we do? Paul, this other writer in the New Testament, he came along after Jesus, and he wrote this letter to the church to some new Christians in the city called Philippi. And so he wrote this letter to them to help them process some of the things that they were going through. And he wrote this kind of familiar verse. Again, you might have read this before if you're familiar with the Bible, but when he talks about these things, he's really referring to this mindset that we're supposed to have as followers of Jesus. And so I want you to read this with me and kind of take this in, because it helps us to see, all right, we see what negativity can do and what it makes us happen. We lose our wonder, we got the false narratives, all sorts of stuff that happens. But then what do we do? And Paul says this in Philippians 4. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Negativity and peace don't go hand in hand. But what Paul does is he says, hey, you want to know what to do when it comes to your negativity? First thing he says is ask yourself what your thoughts are fixed on. I think one of the greatest things we can do is, I'm not even saying this hypothetically or figuratively, literally do a thought inventory. Write it down and say, what do I think about myself? What are the thoughts that happen when I think about where I am in life, how I look, what my family's like, the people around me? What are the thoughts that are happening? What are the thoughts that happen emotionally and spiritually, relationally and physically? What are the thoughts? And actually put them down and so you can see and read them yourself and say, is this positive or negative? Does this move me to the way that Jesus actually thinks of me or not? Or does it move me away from him? I think that the more we suppress negative thoughts and don't allow truth to be spoken into them, the more harm they will do. So you might have these negative thoughts and you just keep having them suppressed, but they actually become more and more harmful because you start believing them more because they're digging down inside of you. And so figuring out, what do I actually, like, actually think? What do I actually fix my mind on? What are the things in my life or the people in my life that bring me towards positivity or negativity? So, I mean, how many of you guys have ever watched something at night or whatever and you have bad dreams because of it? Anybody? So, like, why do we do that stuff? Like, what? It shows the impact it has on our brains. Are you around people that you know they make you gossip more? Or they make you, like, more negative just being around them? So, why do we do that? And so it's important to really, I mean, again, not figuratively, literally, like, write it down so you can begin to see, are my thoughts fixed on the right things? And the second thing, it's going to seem like, whoa, this doesn't even go together. But it does. Serve and be generous to others. If you want to be more positive, if you want to diminish the power of negativity in your life, then serve and be generous to others. Let me just play this out with you guys. Can you imagine if every person that ever followed Jesus said this? Man, I'm just going to fix my mind and my thoughts on whatever is pure and honorable and lovely and true and admirable. That's going to be my thought life, and I'm going to really focus on that, and we're going to challenge, like, my friends on this, and we're going to, like, as a grouping of people in a community together, we're going to keep, like, encouraging and empowering and elevating all these good things and to kind of rid ourselves of the power of negativity. All right, so that's the thing. And then we turn around to all the other people and say, you know what else we're going to do? We're going to serve everyone around us, and we're going to be over the top irrationally generous. Do you really think in the end we're going to still be negative people? Or are we going to see God at work in ways we never have? Are we going to see our lives very differently? This is the power of God. You see, when we serve and are generous to people, you can't honestly serve and be generous towards other people unless you care for them and value them as human beings. Which means that you will be gracious and you will be kind and you will be compassionate. All the things that go hand in hand with Jesus and following Jesus. You can't honestly serve and be generous to other people. And I mean generous. There's a difference between someone who gives to someone and actually generous, right? It's a heart thing. But you can't honestly serve and be generous to other people and be miserable. You can't do it. Because what happens is the heart starts to be like, oh, I just share your story with me. Let me see what God's doing. And you kind of feel like, again, this is ourselves putting ourselves out. Our focus becomes out rather than all about me. See, in the end, when we think about this, the power and the good news of the story of Jesus, this is what we talked about last week, was that he came to this earth, he died, he rose again, he had victory over sin and shame and all of the things that hurt us. And then he gives us this charge to live out the things that he taught and build his kingdom here on this earth. It's the power, that is the good news of Jesus. So let me ask you this. What part of negativity in your life goes along with that? And the answer is none. So why do we allow it? Why do we give power to it? You know, every week we do this 2 minutes to think. And so we do this because we want to have some time of reflection. Maybe what God has been speaking to you through singing or through the sermon here. And so we're going to put 2 minutes up on the clock, and I'm going to read off the questions, and then I'll come back and close us in prayer. So here are the questions to reflect on, and we just ask everyone to write down answers to this. Number one, what is the consistent focus of your inner dialogue? Is it true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable? Number two, how have you given power to negative thoughts, and what is the spiritual truth that would come against that? Number three, do the teachings of Jesus allow positivity, optimism, and hope to be a driving force in your life? Why or why not? So let's put 2 minutes up there, and then I will come back and close this in prayer. All right, will you guys pray with me? So God, this morning, we really, in this time of reflection, God, I pray that we will begin to really take in the fact that negativity and your good news don't go together. That negativity and following you don't go together. That negativity and your hope do not go together. And so I pray that there would be a deep sense of conviction in our hearts to want to rid ourselves of giving power to negative thoughts, that as they begin to creep in, that we speak truth into them. And as we do that, God, that we get to start really embracing and believing what you think of us, what your message is, and how that can lead us to be closer to you. And so, God, for anyone in here that's maybe been feeling like, this is the worst of the worst. My life has never been this bad. God, I pray right now that they would not believe in the narrative that you're not with them. They would not believe the narrative that they're not good enough, that that somehow you're doing this to like spite them or whatever. But God, that they would see that you want them to rid them of any kind of toxicity in their life. That they would see and believe how much you love them and have and this desire to restore them and bring them up so they begin to see life with real hope and a real future. And for those, God, that might be in the highest of highs, maybe those folks not lose their awe and wonder of who you are and begin to see the and have some capacity, God, to be even a brighter light because of you. So we just thank you for what you're doing, and we thank you for your power, and we thank you for the fact that your hope overwhelms our negativity. In your name we pray, everybody said, amen. All right, before you guys get out of here, a couple quick things. We've got, if you'd like prayer for anything in your life, over here to my right, and we've got some folks that would love to pray with you. If you want some more practical steps on how to get connected or in your faith as well, you can stop by the lounge area. And here are a couple of big things. I'm going to use three big things. One is our partner spotlight. Because of your generosity, We have some great partnerships with folks, and this month is near and dear to our hearts because of the Camp Hope people. And we've got a bunch of Camp Hope folks here that attend here, and they have a wonderful organization and work that they do with families and with partners and connecting with inner city kids all throughout Richmond. They also actually do it in Latvia and Costa Rica, and are going to be expanding beyond that as well. And they just do wonderful work with families. And so if you would want to be a part and hear about what they do here in the city and some of the camps that they do and to serve with them, they're out there on your way out and would love to talk with you and get you connected with them. Also, along with generosity, one of the things that we do here every year is the share offering. And so it's this above and beyond offering that we do. So it's separate. If you're a regular giver, it's separate from all that. And what we ask folks to do is we ask folks to consider doing a one day's wage. And it might seem like a lot, and that's why I'm giving you 8 weeks notice. Okay, so, but we're going to take it up on November 24th, and here's what we do with that offering. We actually give the entire thing away, and so we have 6 or 7 partners that we work with, and we just give all the money away. And so last year, in the one offering, we gave away in between $140,000 and $150,000 in the one offering. So it's super fun, because like then we just go write big checks to people, you know, and so we get to really bless some of the partnerships that we work with. And so this year, I just want to issue the challenge to us to crush that on what we did last year. And this is, again, this is the mindset that I want us to kind of have as a church community together, like this above and beyond mindset. Because when we do that, God just does far more than we could ever have imagined. And last thing is this, baptisms are next Sunday. And so you guys have a real big luxury because as the 9:30, you get to see both. All right, because we do them in between the services. All right, but here's what this means. You have to be early to see the first crop getting baptized. All right, so look at the person next to you and say, repeat after me. You ready? B. Do it. Do it. Ready? B. Early. All right, see? Now you're accountable to somebody that's with you. So here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. We do the baptisms right here. All right, so right here in the middle and in between the services. So before you guys get here at the 9:30, so just show up 10 minutes early or so and you'll get to see them. It is a wonderful thing to be a part of, and it gets to be rowdy and it's fun. And then on the back end, you stay for a little bit and we'll get them going early and the 11 o'clock folks will be in here. Does it get a little crazy? Sure. But what's the big deal, right? And so we'll get people in and out of here. And it's an awesome, awesome thing to see. So thank you guys so much. If you want to get baptized, email info@hillcityrva. We will see you guys next Sunday.